is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? It is week 13 as we welcome you into Countdown to Kickoff live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book, like we do each and every Sunday, getting you set for all of the games upcoming in the next hour. 11 games to come today, 7 in that early window. A few weather implications, none bigger than what's going on in Cleveland. Also, some quarterback injuries to get to, including a couple that are going to be playing today with various broken bones. So we'll get to it all as we welcome you into the program alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And we kick things off like we always do with owner and CEO of this fine property, Derek Stevens, on the desk with us. How are you today?
Great. Great to see you guys.
Lot to get into, too.
Yes, I am very excited. Even though we are a little muted on the Sunday because of everything that happened on Thanksgiving and Black Friday, I would assume that you're not going to miss a beat in terms of handle. It's the NFL. It's a beast, and everybody's going to bet it the same.
I would say so. Yeah. I would say so. I mean, this whole weekend's been really unbelievable from handle. Thursday Thanksgiving itself was terrific. Friday fired back. Great college football. Great college football yesterday.
Yep.
No, handle's been solid. Obviously, when you have the Sunday on the Thanksgiving weekend, you don't have as many marquee teams. A little bit of a lull in schedule for a Sunday, but so far so good.
So after all of the underdogs not only covering but winning outright the way they did to kick off Week 13, are we seeing dogs getting played going into the Sunday card as well?
Yeah, you know, is that the reason or is it because of the weather? It's hard to say, but yeah, to have something like what happened on
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's been since 2003 since three dogs won on Thanksgiving, and then when you add in Black Friday, four dogs outright, that's never happened. Crazy.
All right, well, let's start at the top. My guys, the Indianapolis Colts, you guys opened up, I believe, 4.5. You could tell me where you opened up. But how have you handled everything? CJ Stroud's back. Danny Dimes has a broken fibula. Tyler Warren's on the injury report. So what's the journey of this number?
The journey is one way. It's all been Texans money. We're down to a 3 right now.
Wow.
I mean, 4.5, 4. We hung at 3.5. We were at 3.5 yesterday. We've gone to a 3. So it's been Texans.
How about, I mean, we'll just keep going down the injury streak as we go through the rotation here, but the Cardinals and Bucks, Baker Mayfield fighting through that AC joint sprain in his non-throwing shoulder, does get Chris Godwin back for the second week in a row. Bucky Irving also expected to be back, which is big. On the other side, Marvin Harrison was questionable. He's active. They get Bam Knight activated as well. What are you seeing from a number standpoint in this one?
This is one that's not been highly wagered, probably because of all the concerns that you just listed out. You know, we opened at 2.5. We were at 3 on Tuesday. We went up to 3.5 on Friday, and we've sat at 3.5 since then.
How do you handle, like, and I wonder if you guys have conversations about this in terms of these guys being injured, is the assumption that they're fully healthy? Do you try to shade like a half point, assuming they're not? I mean, it's such a hard game to play. I kind of roll with the assumption that if you're good enough to play, they're kind of the same guy they generally are. But how do you guys handle those conversations?
That's some of the secret sauce in the risk room. I mean, that it's a tough thing because you have to try to make an assessment. Actually, there's a tell out there in many ways that when they make a decision on what we're going to put our football Circa Millions contest line at, that's almost telling you what our guys are thinking, because they're trying to get to the closest number, like where they think the number is going to close. So sometimes you can get a little tell from the when they put out the football contest line.
Yeah.
But they're just really, they're weighing out the probabilities, 80% chance of this or 50-50. And that's how they're kind of coming up with their assessments.
One of our biggest shifts of the week is in this Vikings-Seattle Seahawks game. J.J. McCarthy out in the concussion protocol. And because Carson Wentz is also injured, we're getting Max Brosmer making his debut. How are people playing? I mean, we're out to double digits now. Where are you guys at Circa, and how are people playing it?
Yeah, Stormy. Brosmer is not getting a lot of love
here. I can imagine.
Just not happening. You know, we opened this at 8.5. When word started getting out, we went to a 10, no support at all. Went to an 11. We're at a 12. I think this game will be teased down, but there is just no Viking love here today.
I am one of
Look
those.
At that. Are you
one of those? Yes.
See, I'm a sicko. I thought you'd tease it up. Give me 18.
Oh, you want a ladder? You want to go the other way? All
right. I mean, I think this. So when Stormy was here with us during the week, we were going over some JJ McCarthy numbers, and I'm a big nine guy. But when you're constantly, your body of work is constantly being compared to that of Jamarcus Russell and some of the worst quarterbacks we've seen since the early 2000s, I do wonder if you're moving here, on from you as a downgrade.
You're sitting here telling me Max Brosmer is going to be a better situation for the Minnesota Vikings.
JJ McCarthy, quite literally, in terms of his statistics, is one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen in the 2000s. And I just wonder if that's really worth downgrading from, if you're talking about from the points. I'm just curious.
I think like maybe that move probably a little bit too much based on what you're saying here, but I don't think they have a chance against Seattle.
What do you think?
I think Seattle's good. Vikings are not. Vikings are
in a
bad
spot. I love that analysis.
I could see this easily being, a 38-7 game. I actually like if you're going to take a shot on an alt line.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't this the alt line game?
Like 16 and a half, something like that. Up to 17, yeah.
They've done it a couple times this year. Seattle has. Let's go to the weather game of the day. The 49ers and Browns. Where is this total at Circa right now?
This is something. We opened this game at 7 and 41. And the lines come down to a 5 now.
Moved assist a little bit.
But the total is what's been real interesting. It's obviously because of the weather. So we went to 40 on Tuesday. There was a pretty good indication we were going to have a problem. So we're down to 38. Friday, the weather problems seem to have escalated. So we're down to 36. And now this morning, we just took another big bet on the under. We're down to 35 right now.
Wow.
For inquiring minds about what the weather is, by the way, last I saw snow, mixed rain, about 34 degrees. It'll feel like 17 with the wind, 20 plus mile an hour sustained winds, gusts in the mid 30s. And in addition to like the cold and wind, visibility likely impacted as well. So anticipate game script wise, a lot more running the football in this game tonight.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the graphic that's up right now. Okay, so it shows us we have 54% of our handle. That's as of what?
November 10 30th. Ago. Yeah, 10 minutes ago or so. Yeah, 7 minutes ago.
Okay, 54% under. It all kind of matches up.
Yeah.
Because there's just not a lot of buyback on over. I don't know what number it's going to get you. What number would it take you with this weather report you just talked about, Stormy? What would it take you to go over?
I mean, he was trying to talk me into doing a same game teaser.
She loves the teasers. Right? Why not?
Working it that way.
Tease it up. Let's go.
But in some of these, it is interesting. And we obviously monitor it in Live Bet Sunday throughout the early window and how some of these numbers change. Based on how that first drive goes, I wonder how low the total could get and what's available there.
You could also make an argument. I mean, Shanahan's offense is so well schemed. They're good at generating those explosive run plays anyway. Like, you could still maybe get over with a running dominant attack. But I think you're trying to really convince yourself that that would be the case, given the weather. Can I ask you, let's go to the AFC South, third game on the rotation. The hottest ATS team in the league right now, the Tennessee Titans. How has this been bet against Jacksonville?
It's been Tennessee. Yeah. Open to 7, it half a point at a clip, 6.5, 6 down to 5.5. And it's also been bet over. Now I do know that, there was a very favorable weather report that came out of Nashville. There was some concern about Nashville weather as of yesterday, but I know that, the Nashville weather looks like it's going to be much better than what was expected. Total is now bumped up to 43. So, Tennessee is, this might be the team, and we see this every year, where there's a team that gives you this unbelievable amount of hope.
Yeah.
The last 4 or 5 games of the season that gets you excited, that's a team you're going to be excited about in next season. And this could be it.
I would agree. I mean, Tennessee, I know, I think you shared the same sentiments. I think we were generally kind of high on Tennessee in the, the prism of a team with a win total of like 5.5, whatever it was, that they could be pretty good against the spread. And like you said, Cam Ward's looked pretty consistent all year. Their defense has looked a little bit better. I think there's something there.
Oh, Stormy, I saw your smile there. Like,
Don't let her deny it now.
I like Cam Ward, and I think there's a lot of potential with him, but I don't know around that. So we'll see, but let's bank this and we can save it for to bring back next year if they end up going on a nice little run here. What other movers should we be knowing about here these last couple minutes?
Well, we talked about the Vikings. Let's talk about Broncos Commanders. I think Broncos Commanders is going to be the most wagered game of the day. We have seen this morning Commander money come in, which I'm a little surprised at. So we actually had to come down to a six. So that's something that that's standing out there right now. As far as other major movers, really a hot one only in Circus Survivor, Saints and Dolphins.
Yep.
We took a good amount of Dolphins money. Now, five is not an important number, but we went from 4.5 to 5.5 this morning.
Is it a little too, is it a little too early to ask, like, the money you guys see on some of these individual games, especially popular Survivor games, how much is that skewed by people maybe trying to hedge or take positions?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it on Saturday. You know, Jeff Benson, you know, sent a text out, get ready, we got to make a decision. So we took a $400,000 money line play on Philadelphia on Friday morning. We didn't have a lot of time to maneuver.
Yeah.
And that's why if you were taking the Bears earlier in the morning, you were plus 270. Closer to kickoff, you were plus 320.
Yeah.
So pretty big move. And yeah, for us, now these hedges coming in on Circus Survivor and Circus Millions, they're big.
Yeah.
So they move numbers.
We talk so often, I feel like, about the carnage that can come at certain points in Circus Survivor, but this past, 900 down to 49. Absolutely insane. Grandissimo over with all of that. You're headed out of here now. So I just flew in. You're flying out.
I'm flying out. We're crossing in the VSIN studio. Yeah, I'm heading out to Missouri. We launch at midnight tonight in Missouri. So
amazing.
The state of Missouri is excited about it. You can sign up now. Your first bet will be there. So we'll have boots on the ground. We'll have a whole team.
Congratulations. Travel safe. Derek Stevens, everybody. We got to step aside. We'll be right back with more Countdown to Kickoff Week 13 edition coming at you live right here from Circa.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we are rocking and rolling here on this Week 13 edition of Countdown to Kickoff. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. The sportsbook starting to fill in here at Circa in downtown Las Vegas. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will have Warren Sharp on the program as well. Give out some of his best bets as he always does. He has been on a sick run this season for his favorite play of the week. Can't wait to see what that is this time around. We've got a lot of quarterback injuries to get to. We discussed this game briefly last segment, JVT, but Texans and Colts. Daniel Jones reportedly has a broken fibula, and you obviously pay attention to this team very closely. What are all of the reports that you've seen coming in, and how do you view him in this game today?
Well, it depends on who you believe.
There have been conflicting reports.
Yes. If you believe alleged NFL mouthpiece Ian Rappaport, then there's nothing to worry about. Daniel Jones is fine. He's looked great in practice. If you believe the beat reporters who are on the ground out there and watching practice every single day, you would think that you're in a little bit of trouble here if you're the Indianapolis Colts. And I think one of the things that you're worried about, and we were listening when we were sitting back there waiting to come on the air to Dr. Chow with Mitch and Paul, and I thought he had a strong take in that. Look, I don't think you're too worried about him in the pocket. I think there's probably a shot that you could say, well, you know, maybe he's not as elusive in the pocket. Maybe he can't get the push off of the foot to throw some balls downfield. There might be something to that. What I think is going to be more worrisome here is how he handles when he's pressured. Not even when he's running, when he's pressured. So far this season, Daniel Jones has been under pressure on 33.8% of his dropbacks. He has completed 60% of his passes for 7.3 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns and no interceptions. Those are some incredible stat lines for a quarterback that's under pressure. And part of that is his ability to evade pressure with his legs, his mobility, his athleticism. His pressure to sack rate of only 15%, 16% is very good. That, I think, is all diminished with this leg injury. And that, to me, is going to be the problem. It's one of the best pass rushes in the National Football League. They can rush 4, drop back 7. That's 11, right? Yes. And then they can do, you know, whatever they want afterward. And I think that that is going to be the problem. And here's the other thing. And I've said this to you a bunch of times. You know, a lot of people, let's rewind back to the game in which they went on the road against the Steelers. And a lot of people were surprised, like, hey, man, he's all of a sudden under pressure and he's getting hit. And what's happening? This offensive line's been pretty good. He's actually been pressured quite a bit. Again, being pressured on about 34% of your dropbacks, it's a pretty high rate for a starting quarterback. It's just that he's handled it so well. Now, I think a higher rate of those pressures are going to turn into sacks. He's going to face a higher rate of those pressures against one of the best pass rushes in the NFL today in the Houston Texans. And I think that's how this manifests into something kind of ugly.
Okay. Also, another update for Indianapolis. Tyler Warren been dealing with a stomach virus, reportedly. Yep. They're monitoring him this morning, but all indications are that he is going to play. And on the other side of this one, CJ Stroud finally clearing the concussion protocol after missing a Texans last three games. Worth noting, though, they did win all three of those games with Davis Mills under center.
And Mills wasn't bad. Yeah. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times. He's at least he did what they were supposed to. I'm not going to make the case that, hey, CJ Stroud should be benched for Davis Mills. That is not going to be the case. But Mills has played well, so it'd be curious to see if Stroud, after some time off, is going to be able to, at the very least, as crazy as it sounds, maintain what Davis Mills has built here over the last couple of weeks.
So we talk about Daniel Jones with the broken fibula and how that might impact him. We have two quarterbacks this week that are going to be playing with broken bones. Aaron Rodgers with apparently multiple fractures, several broken bones in his left non-throwing wrist. Adam Schefter reporting Rodgers has at least three, one of which is a more consequential break that I guess can only happen with significant force, but he's playing regardless. He will also be doing so without a starting left tackle. Broderick Jones headed to IR with a neck injury that he suffered against the Bears last week and will miss at least the next 4 weeks. On the other side of this thing, though, for Buffalo, they're down a pair of starting offensive linemen, most notably their left tackle Deion Dawkins, right tackle Spencer Brown also out, and we've got some questionables in terms of some of those pass catchers for Josh Allen as well. So with this spread sitting three, Buffalo favored on the road, total around 45.5. What stands out to you?
I mean, it's that, right? It's the pass rush. It's how Josh Allen, let's go back to the Houston Texans game and when everything comes back to the Houston Texans, but go back to week 12 where they took on Houston on the road. Josh Allen in that game, he had two interceptions, didn't throw a touchdown, 7.4 yards per attempt in terms of overall pressure and dropbacks under pressure. 20 of his 46, he was considered under pressure. Now, with a thin offensive line against a pass rush that maybe is not as good, but still you'd call above average, what are we going to get from this team? What are we going to get from this offense? Is Allen, again, going to be cursed to just try to run for his life almost every single time out? You do wonder if that's going to be exactly what's going to happen here again. Maybe not a similar outcome in that they lose the game. I did take three. We'll get to the best bets later with the Steelers because of these injuries, but you have to wonder if that's going to be somewhat similar to what we just watched, is it not?
I absolutely agree with you. I just wonder on the other side what this looks like with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because he misses last week, obviously. He's got some sort of a device protective covering on the left wrist. What does that look like for him and the Steelers to be able to put points on the board? Like, everybody's talking about Tomlin as a dog at home and giving all these stats. But, but your starting quarterback is really struggling.
Yeah, I mean, but it's one of those things where, so realistically, non-throwing hand, what are you limited in? You're limited in the way you hand the ball off.
The way you hand the ball off and the way you take the snap.
Sure. But I think you can work those things. I mean, you had last week off, so you're working on whatever it is. There's funky ways to kind of turn and hand the ball off, do whatever. Do you run maybe more out of like pistol, do little things like that. I like the potential limitations of an offhand injury for a quarterback versus the limitations of having an offensive line that can't protect you. I think those are obviously a little bit more magnified for Buffalo than it would be for Aaron Rodgers.
No question about it. I didn't realize that you were just going to be on the Max Brosmer train as much as you are today. But again, for anybody who doesn't know, J.J. McCarthy out today, and we will see the rookie out of the University of Minnesota getting his first start.
It's just, again, so, you know, we went over these numbers earlier in this week, last week. It feels like
and I understand.
It feels like an eternity ago because we had a holiday in between. Technically, I guess kind of.
But it's still a guy in J.J. McCarthy that's had like a year and a half plus of learning the playbook compared to someone who hasn't had reps.
This is not a pro bro guy, right? I'm not a pro Brosmer guy. My only question is just, hey, you know, do we really downgrade this team that much when the quarterback that is being replaced is a quarterback that statistically has performed on par with what is widely considered to be one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen? That's just, I'm just out of curiosity throwing that question out.
I think for me, I agree that I think the line probably was a little bit too aggressive for that injury specifically, but I also think Seattle's really freaking good. Like, how much have we talked about, like, the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams are our two best teams in the league right now?
I mean, I like Derek Stevens, who was with us just in this last one. If you watch on VSiN.com, you can rewind. I like the thought of, if you're going to play this, I know that you're thinking about, or you did, you teased them down. I like the concept of, if you're going to go in, go all in. lay 16 and a half at a plus price with Seattle or something like that, as opposed to just going out and laying 12. You're kind of in this dead space. Who cares? You know, go alt line like 13 and a half or 14, go alt line like 16 and a half, 17, and play it in that regard. Cause if I'm wrong, and again, it's not like I'm running to bet Minnesota, I'm just asking the question. This could get ugly. We've seen Seattle absolutely bludgeon some really bad teams, and this could be one of those situations as well. So I like that angle more than anything else. If you're going to play it, play some alternate lines. Don't just lay 12. Go out and get a little bit of bang for your buck and hope for that blowout, which I think if Seattle's going to win this game, you know, the many different universes in which Seattle wins this game, there's going to be a lot more, I think, that are a blowout than we expect.
One game we haven't talked about, Falcons-Jets. We did mention the Browns and 49ers, that was a game that was going to have some weather impact. This one will as well. Rain likely, some wind, 10 to 15 mile an hour, consistent gusts up to 25. We got Kirk Cousins under center with Penix still shut down for the season. No Drake London here, and the Falcons are favored on the road, which is just a weird sight to see.
Well, it's a weird sight to see after last week. So I keep bringing this up. We talked about this during our market rankings. You were here, you were here with us last week. Last week, at this time, we sat here with a betting market that told you Seattle, that New Orleans was a better team than the Atlanta Falcons. And now, 7 days later, Atlanta is laying a key number on the road against a Jets team that is now rated the same as New Orleans. Like, where are we? Now, maybe this is the accuracy part of it, but to me, that's just, you should not be
the volatile swings.
At this late in the season, I understand Kirk Cousins is playing, and maybe that's just the, hey, we didn't really gauge how good Kirk Cousins could potentially be. Whatever. It's not like he blew the New Orleans Saints out of the water anyway. But to your point, to use that word, your power ranking, the way that you were rated, the numbers on you should not be this volatile this late into a season, barring something really big in terms of injury. But we know what the quarterback position is coming into this week. So I'm just curious. This is probably more where it should be. But this betting market can't really figure out this team or what it wants to do with New Orleans, who we can talk about a little bit later.
I do think maybe a teaser leg on the Jets could be interesting. Yeah. You get through key numbers. And I mean, even though the Jets have only won a couple games, they're 6-5 against the spread. So they have been good from a betting standpoint.
They've been plucky.
Plucky. We love that word. Also, a quick reminder. So coming up in the next segment, Warren Sharp is going to be on the program. We're going to dive into some of his favorite prop angles for the Week 13 slate. And as we do so, it's a good reminder up on VSiN.com. We have our Opta AI player prop projections tool now, and we've been doing it all season. We've got it in the NBA as well. But specifically for a day like today, if you want to look at some quarterback, wide receiver, running back numbers on attempts, yards, any of those things, you'll get the AI prop projection, and it'll be compared directly to the DraftKings line that's available for you right now. See where there could be some potential for implied value. So we will discuss some of those prop options coming up here next, as well as at the end of the show when we do our best bets leading up to that final countdown to kickoff. We will be right back right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're getting closer. The 1 p.m. slate will be here before you know it. We're about 30 minutes out as we welcome you back to VSiN's Countdown to Kickoff. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Excited to bring in our good buddy Warren Sharp on the Progressive Guest Line, sharpfootballanalysis.com, VSiN NFL analyst. Did a great job already. Multiple hits on the network this morning, and we're going to keep you working for one more here, Warren. Welcome in. And you know, I always like to start with the play of the day because you've had so much success with them throughout the course of the year. Today's coming in Titans Jags, which I got to tell you, I didn't expect that. That wasn't the first place I was going to go on the bingo card. What do you got?
It's a gross game. It's a gross slate. The 1 p.m. early kickoff slate, very gross. You can just thank Roger Goodell for that, for giving all the good teams on Thursday to try to boost the ratings. And we get the leftovers here, literally and figuratively, on Sunday afternoon. But this is one that I do like, and it's got a lot of variance, but I still like it. And it's Cam Ward rushing yards over. You can find this at a variety of lines. I'm seeing some 14 and a half. I'm seeing some 16 and a half. Continues to rise. I've been talking about it, obviously, all day today on the network. But the main point here is, if you can hold up this for a second, and there we go. We got the focus in. Pressure rate at the X-axis, blitz rate on the y-axis. These are the defenses that he's gone up against, and these are the rushing yards, 6 yards, 0 yards, 8 yards, 0 yards. He's not really running against the teams that don't get pressure and don't blitz much, but 22 rushing yards, 33 rushing yards against the Texans in the two games, 37 against the Seahawks in the one game there. And now what are we going to get against the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think it's more of the same against these teams that do try to send pressure, try to blitz often. Cam Ward will end up scrambling, will end up running. The last couple of weeks, he has gone over this. He's hit 30 plus rushing yards each of those last two games. And the coach came out this week and said the final piece to the puzzle for Cam Ward is his realization that making something out of nothing is better than just throwing the ball away or throwing an interception, and that they've been trying to coach him up on this since week one, and he's finally getting the picture. And that's great. Obviously, this is an interim head coach. He's only been there for a couple of weeks in terms of actually trying to have the majority of the influence over Cam Ward. And I think we can get over this number. I also laddered it to the 30-plus mark because that's what he's done in the last couple of weeks as well. So don't feel too bad if you missed out on some of the maybe the 10.5, the 11.5 rushing yards. You still have access to a 14.5. I would take that and maybe shoot for the upside as well. Again, a lot of variance because he's a rookie. A lot of variance because he's only been doing this for a couple of weeks. But the defense he's facing and the signal that we're getting out of the coach speak points towards the over here.
All right, let's go to a big one in the AFC. Two wild card teams so far, Steelers, Bills. What do we make of what we have on the field here? Is there any angle we're looking player prop wise?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at a Steelers team that I think is going to be in this game because the Buffalo Bills, both their tackles are out. And so the Buffalo Bills aren't going to be able to, you know, drop Josh Allen back, you know, 50 times and have a lot of success through the air against the Steelers secondary, which is a weak, terrible secondary. Probably going to be running the football a little bit more, especially due to this weather. I think on the reverse side, Aaron Rodgers, three broken bones in his non-throwing hand, is going to be coming out here and trying to establish a running game as well. Now, the Buffalo Bills run defense ranks number two defending runs out of 11 personnel. That's three wide receiver sets. However, against 12 personnel and 13 personnel runs, this is a number 32 ranked defense in the NFL. The worst run defense defending runs against heavy sets. What does Arthur Smith and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense love to do? Utilize heavy personnel. Utilize those two tight end sets to run the football. And in this case, I think they're going to have success here. I looked to back the longest rush over for both Gainwell at 11.5 for Jalen Warren at 13.5. As it related to total rushing yards, though, the angle that I took here is there's some books that have combined rushing yards for various players, and you can combine both Gainwell and Jalen Warren. You combine both of the starting running back, the starting and the backup running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you get plus money for 100 plus rushing yards. And I laddered this all the way up. I think I took it to, I was getting plus 820 odds for 150 combined rushing yards between Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell. I don't have to worry about who exactly gets there for me. I just need both of them to combine for 150 plus yards at plus over 800 odds. That was pretty solid in my opinion.
Warren Sharp joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And I know throughout the course of the week, you're giving out plays and then the value and number can change by the time we get to Sunday. Well, we get the opportunity to do that here because you're looking ahead to another prop on Monday night that you could still get some value at before the public really dives in tomorrow. What did you like when it comes to Giants and Patriots, for tomorrow?
Yeah, the Patriots have a stout run defense. The Patriots have a strong defense against running back runs. They do struggle defending running back passes. And they also, on the other side, have a quarterback for the New York Giants, Jackson Dart, who is returning after having suffered multiple concussions, coming back after a multiple week absence. And I don't know that we're going to want him standing in the pocket trying to elude defenders. I think we're going to want him to be getting rid of the ball a little bit quicker. I also think that while he still maybe scrambles, if there's an opening in front of him, he might want to dump the ball off a little bit more frequently. And as a result, Tyrone Tracy receiving yards in the higher teens is a solid look for me in this game. I think he definitely exceeds that. The last 2 weeks, what do you have? 51 receiving yards and 68 receiving yards in those two games against the Packers and the Lions. Now he's going up against the New England Patriots defense. Again, it's a pass funnel defense. The Patriots are favored in this game. That means the Giants, either the game might be close or they're playing from behind. In either case, I don't expect a big Giants win here. So they're going to need to be dropping Jackson Dart back to pass the ball. I like the over in Tyrone Tracy receiving yardage.
All right, let's talk about a couple of these other injuries, specifically Daniel Jones. He's been one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL in evading pressure, only about 15% pressure to sack rate. How do we handle this? I mean, you're looking at Daniel Hunter and, of course, Will Anderson Jr. You're laying prices for a sack. Does it manifest in that regard? Does it manifest in the game and the side? How do you think this Daniel Jones injury hampers the Colts, if at all?
I think it's hard to not consider the fact that it affects all of those things you just mentioned, because the quarterback taking the ball under center, it looked like he was struggling just to drop back and do like a play action handoff to his running back in footage that was leaked from practice a couple of days ago. I'm not suggesting that he's going to play like that today. I think he would be massively compromised and the coaching staff would get fired if they stick a guy out there who is that banged up. But I do think he's going to be limited. And I do think Daniel Jones has had a history of being a buffoon in the pocket, not having great ball security, fumbling the ball, turning it over. And as a result, I mean, maybe those things come back to bite him with this pass rush of the Houston Texans. I showed the graphic earlier where the Houston Texans were, you know, a top five pressure team, one of the higher blitz rate teams. They're going to be able to get after the Indianapolis Colts. I was looking at this spot, having not known about this injury a couple of weeks ago, thinking the Indianapolis Colts played overseas. They played in Kansas City. Now they're finally coming home, safe confines of their dome. This should be a game that they get back on track here. But now that you hear about this injury, now that you hear about how it's going to impact this team, it could impact them running the football, even like I mentioned, with him dropping back. So I just don't want to have anything to do with exposure to the positives about the offense of the Indianapolis Colts in this one. I would only be thinking of negatives occurring here with regard to the Indianapolis Colts and looking at unders on player props or scoring or things of that nature.
Because I know everyone was thinking it at home. Buffoon, great word. I also wanted to ask you about another quarterback injury. Baker Mayfield had a tough performance at LA, then suffers the low-grade AC joint sprain. It is to his non-throwing shoulder, but how should we anticipate him to be impacted today against Arizona?
This is a quarterback similar to Aaron Rodgers. You don't want him holding onto the football too long, because any singular hit could knock him out, right? Even if it's not a sack, any hit could knock him out. So as a result, I'm expecting a quicker drop back game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They don't want to be holding onto the football too long in the pocket unless it's like max protection or something along those lines. As a result, some of those receivers who typically catch high air yard passes down the field, like a Sterling Shepard, you might want to look at the unders on him. Guys like Bucky Irving, who have a low price tag right now for his receiving yards because he's going to work his way back into this one. After such a long layoff, I would think that he gets a decent amount of run here. And one way to keep him a little bit safer is to throw the football to him, so he's not trying to weave his way through an offensive line and a defensive line, and more so catch the ball in space, see who's trying to hit him and try to avoid that contact if he needs to. I would look at the overs in some of Bucky Irving's receiving props there. So I do think it's questionable. I would look towards the under and overall Baker Mayfield passing yards simply by the fact that any hit could knock him out of the game. So you don't want to be betting on the overs for a guy like that. That's the direction I would be looking at there.
Yeah.
Last 45 seconds. I need maintenance tips. I've been told by my wife to keep the mustache. What do you recommend?
We're keeping it.
I love that fact. I mean, keep the wife, happy wife, happy life, as they say. You know, you do want to get the little clippers and trim it as needed to keep it looking as well-groomed as possible. And you can make the decision. You know, you let it grow down a little bit. You like it, keep it. If you want to make a change, the good news is it's not going to take that much longer to grow back the little part that's coming down on the other side, if that's what you're looking to do. So I would be looking to, you know, just groom it, comb it a couple times a day, and It should be in good shape for Christmas time.
All right.
Might not look like Santa Claus, but it should be in good shape.
Okay.
It is getting more visibility. Warren, you're awesome. Thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck.
And reminder, everybody, thanks to Warren, Black Friday this week, he's got a great deal for our VSiN listeners. Right now, you can get all of his NFL and college recommendations for the rest of the year for under $35 a week. Go to sharp.football, click the top link to claim the offer.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Who doesn't love love this time of year. Make the holidays unforgettable this season with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roast to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks is delivering top-quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Every steak perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. All you need to do is go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. Even if you missed the Thanksgiving feast, we got you covered going into December as the holiday season continues. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Fontova with you as we continue to count down to kickoff. We are just minutes away from getting this 1 o'clock Eastern time window underway. 7 games on deck, 11 for the day. So a shorter afternoon slate with just a few games on tap. But let's get into it because we've got best bets galore. Most notably you. Mm. When I was looking through this spreadsheet, I was like, dang, my dude got after it today. You got a lot of things you like.
Not only like 4. A bunch of those are from Thursday and Friday, I think, is what you were looking at in the actual spreadsheet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, I didn't expect you to come so hot in this.
Today I've only got about 4.
See, I missed that.
But there was a bunch of Christian Watson stuff in there, which I deserved a better fate, by the way.
Boom.
My man had like 9 targets, couldn't hold on to the ball, still finished with 72 yards. Anyway, all right.
Speaking of deserving a better fate, I hate the Eagles. I hate a lot of teams based on the way that the holiday slate went so far.
The Eagles were strong legs for you and I both on a couple of teasers, I believe.
So. Yes. Well, I'm glad I only did it for one.
I said strong legs.
Dude, I'm telling you, I thought about making that a base leg for multiple. And I was like, oh, no, you know, I'll play it slow this week. And thank God.
Yeah.
Anyways, go on.
All right. Well, we'll go against our boys. First and foremost, Texans plus 4.5. Now, this is, if you're just joining us here, we have a program, Money Moves Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 Eastern time, where we have our best bets throughout the week and we accumulate them for here. This was one that I think on Tuesday we had talked about that I had added to the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And part of the logic was, look, I think this is kind of like a free space in terms of some closing line value. You grab 4.5, a number that I thought was only going to close 3.5. Then we get the fibula news. Then we get, of course, the news that Tyler Warren is injured. So Texans plus 4.5. Saints plus 6 against Miami looked good for a while. Here at Circa, it actually dipped to 4.5. We're back up to 5.5. Still a little bit of the best of the number. The logic here is pretty simple, and I brought this up when we talked about Atlanta as well. Atlanta is a team that, from a power rating standpoint, is very, very close to Miami, whether it's a point or two given the Kirk Cousins change, whatever. Last week, we were told New Orleans was better than Atlanta. This week, they're catching 6 in Miami. I don't really buy this. I think the answer should be somewhere in between. Yes, the Kamara injury news, all those sort of things that we understand. I just think that the market is getting a little too volatile with the way it's rating these teams after some bad results, which the betting market was incorrect. Betting market bet up New Orleans, betting market bet against Atlanta, all these sort of different things, and got it incorrect. So I think that this is one where I'm going to push back a little bit. Let's say, you know what? Pendulum swung too far. Give me New Orleans plus 6.
So I don't have a bet on this game, and I'm not going to be rooting against you by any means, but I actually really leaned Miami in this game. Coming out of the bye.
Shocking.
Well, think about the trajectory of their season. Just when you thought that they were going to quit and give up, cut your losses, they've showed some serious fight, won 3 of their last 4 games, including 2 as an outright dog. They beat the Buffalo Bills. I know we've had the conversation on Money Moves. You're getting a little worried about that all-season win total under that you played on Miami for that reason.
Maybe this is me, hopefully.
Like maybe.
Just kind of like, you know, in the back of my mind, somewhere in the deep recesses of it, saying, please, please lose this game. I don't know.
Well, and I also just kind of think Devon Achane is having a great season, too. He's not getting talked about enough. Potential for him to just run down the throats of this Saints defense.
I think all these things can be true. I also think it should probably be like 4, 4.5.
Okay, so just more of a numbers play than anything else. Yep. I gotcha.
So let's go with the Saints plus 6. I think you and I share a similar sentiment here, although I don't think you bet the side outright. Steelers plus 3 against the Buffalo Bills. We talked about this, the pass rush. We talked about it at length with Warren Sharp. I think that's going to be enough for the Steelers. Yes, I understand the multiple broken bones of the offhand of Aaron Rodgers, but I think that you can overcome that. You can't really overcome a pass rush that is going to get to you nearly on every single snap you drop back. So let's go with the Steelers plus 3. And how about this? This disgusting, I regret this already. This disgusting, poorly run franchise who is openly doing war or committing, like going back and forth, firing shots at their ex-offensive coordinator through the media. Have you read these reports?
So
this is ridiculous.
I haven't read it in its entirety. I did headline flip, though, that accusing Chip Kelly essentially of mixing up his play calls and not knowing what he was doing.
Yes. Well, and then, so then you didn't see the follow-up report.
What's the follow-up?
Which was clearly from Chip Kelly's camp, which was, I wasn't running the offense that I was allowed to run. It was all Pete Carroll and everybody else. So they are clearly just sending out messages to each other through the press. It's absolutely ridiculous. This team is so poorly run. Give me the Raiders plus 10.
That's it, Raiders plus 10.
Like, so similar to what we talked about with the Saints. And this is a week where I'm telling you, I'm ready to get my face kicked in here. Last week, the market was so randy about this Raiders team against Cleveland. They bet them up to 4.5-point favorites at home against Cleveland. Now, all of a sudden, we're flipping this to the point where you're catching 10 on the road against a Chargers team whose offensive line is beat up. You've got a premier pass rush who can get after it. The Chargers have been a pretty overvalued team throughout the course of the season. I just think, again, the market, after a couple of weeks in which it got burned, specifically with two of these teams we're talking about, the Saints and the Raiders, we're seeing this volatility in their power rating, the swinging back and forth. It's somewhere in the middle, and I think we've gone a little too far in one direction. So let's go. Give me the Raiders plus 10 here against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, you've got some hold your nose and
I mean, it's bad, dude. Spray. This is really bad. This is going to be so bad.
I have a few teasers, and judge me all you want. People, they're like, you can only do teasers one way. Listen,
only
I get
Wong teasers, folks.
I get weird with my teasers. It's my money. Let me live my dreams. And I have the Rams as a base leg in two of them. One I am pairing with the Denver Broncos just to essentially win the game. That's also the second leg I have of a teaser from earlier this week that I paired with the Packers. So we just need to close that out. And I like the Broncos in general. You see at the bottom of that graphic as well, I laid the full six on Sunday night against the Commanders. Still no Jaden Daniels for Washington. Broncos defensively getting a few key pieces back. Pat Surtain back in the lineup. Linebacker Alex Singleton leads the Broncos in tackles. Just had surgery, by the way, for testicular cancer 3 weeks ago, and he's already coming back out there on the field. But I think this is just a case of better team, and even at that near touchdown mark, I think Denver should be able to get it done with their defense. And Bo Nix has played better, okay? Like, I know that we were sipping the haterade on Bo Nix and looking at some of those advanced metrics for a while, but he has done what he's needed to do to win and get over the hump in a lot of these games. As for a couple of the props as well, I guess I should say the base leg of that other teaser. Rams -4 with the Broncos, and then Rams -4 with the Seahawks -5.5. I told you I was bringing it down. You told me to bet the alts on the Seahawks. Maybe I'll throw in a couple for fun on that before the game kicks off, because I do think that there's blowout potential in that game. That said, for the weather mayhem we are about to watch in Browns 49ers, the angle I'm taking here, curious your opinion on it, starting with Shedeur Sanders. Last week when we saw him, 11-20, 209 yards, a touchdown and interception, had some highlight plays, tried to push the ball downfield. However, I don't know how much you're going to be trusting your rookie quarterback to throw the ball in these types of conditions. Mm-hmm. The pass attempts number set at 27.5. And this felt to me like an under. No?
I mean, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem with the narrative and the media bourgeoisie building up the case against Shedeur Sanders.
I'm not a believer.
I always misuse the term bourgeoisie, but
Kevin Stefanski and company, all the reports say that they're going to give Shedeur an extended look to be the starter the rest of the way, which I think he deserves that opportunity to see what he can do. But I don't know how much I should be buying what we saw last week to begin with against a Raiders team that, I mean, granted, you were talking mostly about the offense for the Raiders, but a team I don't think anyone has any reason really to believe in. They have a terrible defense, and he was able to do what he did. 49ers defense, still nothing to write home about with all of their issues that they have in terms of health. Yet with the weather conditions, I just feel like we're going to see handoff city. And on the 49ers side of that, is that a way that we can cash in the ground game with Christian McCaffrey, who already gets fed the ball at will? Maybe now he's getting more handoffs, so took the attempts over 18.5 for him at plus money.
Sound like a hater, to be honest with you.
Get out of here.
You want some late line moves? Is that everything?
Did I not tell you that I was very excited for I told you going into that game last week that I hope he has a good performance.
I need you to get your stuff off here. Is that everything? Denver -6 at Commanders?
Yes, I got everything, but I have to do this too. So
okay, go ahead. Never mind.
I did just want to remind people as well. So as we give out these best bets every single day on the website, VSiN.com, you have the best bets from all of our show hosts and guests. And right now we've got a special for anybody who wants to become a full-time subscriber for Black Friday. Yes, I know it's Sunday. Leave it alone. Just for $60, you get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st. So that's the best bets, betting splits, prop tools, 24/7 video, coverage through every major sport. It is our biggest new subscriber offer of the year. VSiN.com/subscribe.
That's it. I was just going to go over some late closing line moves and whatnot. As
you got 40 seconds. Go, go, go.
I would say the key one that we're watching here is that Tampa Bay is starting to get to 4.5. So a little bit of a late push here on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Arizona Cardinals.
That surprised you a little bit?
A little. I mean, again, as I asked Derek, how do you evaluate a guy? I always make the joke, we don't have the Mortal Kombat life bars above our heads. We can't really tell exactly how healthy a guy is. I like to assume they're at full strength if they're able to play, but we have seen worse situations before where guys clearly aren't healthy.
I am curious to see what we get not only from Baker Mayfield, but Bucky Irving back in the fold as well. Chris Godwin now in his second game of action. Does he get a little bit of a bigger complement of the targets and such? So we will get into it. When we come back, we're shifting gears from countdown to kickoff to Live Bet Sunday. The games will be underway. Our final thoughts and live line updates as we go next.